All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I am 42 years old, which guess technically sort of makes me middle-aged, I think. I'm sort of trying to wrestle with that. If the average life expectancy of the American male is somewhere around 80, then I guess statistically that puts me sort of right in the middle. But what's funny is that I will have these different experiences where sometimes I still think of myself as really young, and then other times I'll have these experiences where I'm starting to think of myself as being like really old. For example, there are times where I'll be telling stories from when I was in high school or when I was in college, and literally in my mind, I'm literally thinking, yeah, that was like just a few years ago. And then I have to sort of stop and catch myself and realize, no, Joe, that was 25 years ago, right? And I'm telling these stories like they happened last summer, and then doing the math and realizing, no, they happened last century. Crazy. I still see myself as 18, 20 years old sometimes. And then other times, right, I'm starting to have these experiences where I'm starting to think to myself, Joe, you're getting really old, man. I'm starting to get these weird, random medical ailments. And like things that happened to me, like a few months ago, I came down with gout. Like it was painful, it was miserable. I could barely walk like crazy. And somebody actually said to me, hey, isn't that like a fat old guy disease? And at first I was like, yeah, you know what, you're right. Like that's sort of weird. Like why would I get that? you know, and then it dawned on me, I was like, wait a minute. I think I might be that guy. Oh man, it's quite a ride, isn't it? Like growing up, growing old, it's a ride. And it's that very thing that the preacher actually wants to talk to us about this morning as we once again turn our attention to the book of Ecclesiastes. Right, in many ways, our passage this morning is about aging. It's a word to the young, it's a word to the old, it's a word about going from one to the other. And whether you consider yourself young or old or somewhere in between this morning, the preacher has something specific to say to each one of us, right? That as we grow up and grow older and age, how do we age well? How do we age well? Before there's no more life left in us to live, how do we make sure we get the most out of life? Right? And it seems like the preacher wants to give us at least three pieces of counsel this morning, right? To rejoice, to remove, and to remember. To rejoice, to remove, and to remember. And those will form the sort of the three main points of our message this morning. But first, let's read God's word, and then let's ask for God's help. Let's pick back up in chapter 11, verse 7, and we will read through chapter 12, verse 7. Light is sweet and is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So, if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. Father, we do ask now that you would speak to us, Lord, through your word, Lord, that we would not only speak, but Lord, grant us eyes to see you, Lord, to behold you, Lord, to stand in awe of you, Lord, to recognize that we are in the presence of a holy, good, gracious, almighty, sovereign God. Father, turn our hearts to you now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the first bit of counsel that the preacher gives to us this morning in order to age well and get the most out of life is to rejoice. To rejoice. And the preacher gives this counsel both to older people, verse 8, and to younger people, verse 9. But the reason he does so is slightly different depending upon which one you are. Right? For the older person, the preacher is going to draw attention to the length of your years as a reason to rejoice. And for the younger person, the preacher is going to draw attention to the sort of the vitality of your youth. But as we will see, in calling us to rejoice in those things, it's also meant to be a protection against certain temptations, right? Certain temptations that are unique to older people in particular, and certain temptations that are unique to younger people in particular. So first, to older people, the preacher says in verse 8, if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. Right, and the natural question would be, why? Right, and the essence of the answer is actually captured just above in verse 7. That light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Now, it's another one of those proverbial statements the preacher gives us. And in order to understand it, we first have to understand that light is often associated with life. Right? Like bread, right? Light is associated with life, right? From the creation of the world, when God said, let there be light, and life began, right? To the coming of Jesus, who brought the light of life. Right? The point of verse 7 is that light is sweet because life is sweet. And life is sweet because life is a gift, right? Life is a blessing, and even more so, long life, right? Psalm 91 verse 16 tells us. It's a blessing. So if another year has gone by and you can still see the sun, then praise God because it means you're still alive to see another day, right? The more years you've lived, the more times you've gone around that sun, then the more times you have had to experience the sweet blessings of life. Right, the goodness of life. And so this call to rejoice then is a call to recognize those blessings. Right, to count your blessings, as it were, to not take them for granted, but to be grateful for every one of those blessings. I love what Phil Ryken says about this. Phil has been so helpful as we've gone through Ecclesiastes for me personally. He writes, many things in life are sweet, like the taste of golden honey, or the soft fold of skin on a baby's neck, or the sound of the sweet spot on a baseball bat when it connects for a home run. Many things in life are also bright, the first shaft of morning sunshine over a shimmering sea, a full rainbow against dark clouds, a blazing campfire on a warm summer's night, the twinkling lights of home after a long journey. Oh, how sweet life is! And how bright are its many blessings. What a joy it is, therefore, to live many years because we have had more opportunity to enjoy the goodness of life. The right way to respond is by rejoicing. Praise God for the goodness of life. Praise him for everything sweet you taste and everything bright you see. Praise him. Now, the reason for this conscious, grateful rejoicing in the sweet blessings of life seems to be, the reason why it seems to be so important to the preacher is because of the way it serves to protect against certain temptations that can be unique to older people in particular. Right, and you might ask, well, what are those temptations exactly? Well, the end of verse 8 clues us in, right, when we also remember that the days of darkness will be many and all that comes is vanity. In other words, if you live for many years, then the more opportunity you will have to not only see bright days, but to see dark days. Right, that the longer you live to taste not only the sweet things in life, but to also taste the bitter things in life. Right? That the longer you live, then the greater likelihood is that you will also suffer. Right? That you will experience loss. You will experience disappointment, injustice, pain, trial, tragedy, grief, sadness, sorrow. Right? The vanity of life, the frustration and the futility of life. And the temptation is that when we taste what is bitter in life, to become bitter ourselves, right? That dark days produce dark hearts, right? To grow cold, to become cynical, to become angry, to become bitter, to be resentful, to become joyless, miserable people, right? And the longer that you live, the stronger that temptation can become. I mean, we're all familiar with the crotchety old person stereotype, right? Sort of cantankerous, right? Always grumpy, right? Never really happy about anything in life. Always complaining about everything in life. Just sort of the crotchety old person. Familiar with that stereotype. I'm not much of a country music fan, but there is a song that I know called "You're Gonna Miss This." It starts with a mom driving her teenage daughter around in the car, and the girl's kind of complaining about wishing she was older and could kind of do what she wants, and her mom's trying to tell her, hey, slow down, there's going to be a day. You're going to miss these years, you know, when you're young, when you're a teenager. And then a little bit later in the song, that same girl, she's a newlywed, right? She's living in a small apartment, and her dad comes to visit her, but then she just starts talking to her dad about how she wishes that, you know, she had a bigger house so she could start a family. And again, her dad's trying to tell her, hey, slow down, you're going to miss these days, right? And then a little bit later in the song, that same girl, she's older, she has that bigger house, she has that family, right, along with all of sort of the chaos that comes with it. And so a handyman comes to the house to fix something, and so she's just apologizing about all the mess and the chaos and the noise, and even the handyman is like, hey, don't worry about it, it's not a problem. One day, I promise, you're going to miss all this. And the whole song is basically this giant illustration of the very thing that the preacher's talking about right here. Right, how we can go through life, and all of these blessings are just going through, right by us. Right, all around us, but we don't see them, we don't miss them, we miss them, we don't acknowledge them, and before we know it, we're old, miserable, crotchety people. All the while, failing to recognize that the reason we are so unhappy in life is because we have failed to see and savor all of the blessings that were right there in front of us. Right, and that's not to negate or minimize all of the pains and difficulties of life, but it is to say that those things are not the whole of life. In fact, for most of us, it's not even most of life. But the reality is most of life is filled with one expression after another of God's goodness and love and mercy and grace and generosity and faithfulness and blessing. And the question is, do you see it? Do you see it all around you? And the preacher would say, listen, don't let your joy in life be stolen away because you fail to see and savor and give thanks and rejoice in the blessings of God that were all around you, right? Because those who age well are those who learn to rejoice well. You want to age well, rejoice. Now, that counsel also applies to younger people as well, but the particulars here are a little bit different, right? While older people should praise God for the length of their days and all of the sweet blessings that they have experienced along the way, young people should praise God for the strength and vitality of their days. Right? The blessing of youth, right, is that there's a vitality to it, right? There's a life to it, right? Your body, typically, it's stronger. It's healthier, right? Your heart typically is full of good cheer, the preacher says, right? There's an energy to your life. There's a zeal, there's a zest, there's a bounce, right? There's a spring, right, to being young. You're less weighed down by the cares and the burdens and the responsibilities of life. That the future is still full, right, of all kinds of potential, all kinds of possibilities, right? There's freedom to dream, right, to follow your heart. The preacher says, to pursue your passions, to go in new directions, to have all these ambitions. These are all reasons for young people to rejoice, right? To thank God for being alive. But that rejoicing And that thanking God for those blessings is also meant to protect you, right, from a certain temptation that often plagues young people. See, while older people are tempted to grow cold and cynical, younger people are often tempted to forget that they are accountable. Right? They tend to take the strength and vitality of youth for granted rather than see it as a gift from God. And when they do that, they are tempted to think that they can do with it whatever they please. Right? And so the preacher says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and set and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." Right? In other words, the God who has blessed you with strength and vitality is also the righteous judge who will hold you accountable for what you do with it. Right? So every time you follow your heart, every time you pursue your passions, just know you will have to answer to God for the things that you've done. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean don't do it. It doesn't necessarily mean don't follow your heart or don't pursue your passions. It just means that the strength and vitality you have to do it comes from God. And therefore, where your heart and where your passion leads you matters. What you do with it matters. That's why an older Apostle Paul could tell a younger Timothy to take the vitality of his youth and flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Right? And so when the preacher says here to rejoice and thank God for the vitality and strength of youth, it's simply meant to help. That rejoicing is meant to help steer your heart and steer your passions in the right direction. Right? To remind you where that comes from. Right? So that when you are older, you are not full of regret, right? And you are ready to stand before God and give an account for your life. So if you want to age well, get the most out of life, then the preacher says, learn to rejoice well. Learn to rejoice. Be the kind of people who thank God for all of the blessings that occupy your life. Secondly, point number two, he tells us to remove, right? To remove, verse 10, remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Now, admittedly, this one is a little bit harder to sort of understand completely. There are a number of different interpretations when you start to flip through all the commentaries, but they all share some sort of basic similarities that I think we can draw a general conclusion here. And that is, the preacher is encouraging us to remove all of the things in our life that bring unnecessary distraction and burden to life, right? So remove vexation from your heart. A vexation is anything that causes you to sort of worry, to be burdened, to be anxious, right? To be bothered, to be annoyed, to be irritated, to be peeved, to sort of be upset and angry and just sort of bothered, right? As one scholar says, there's little point in listing examples here. With so much trouble in the world, it would be hard to know where to start and how to end. Furthermore, the vexations are different for each one of us, right? So what sort of peeves and annoys and upsets one person or makes one person anxious isn't necessarily the same for all people or another person. And so it seems what the preacher is saying to us is that with so many potential vexations, right, so many things to sort of be upset about or to make you anxious or worried, he's saying, listen, there are some things in life that are worth your time and attention and energy and effort, and there are other things that are not. And the key is knowing the difference and then having the perspective to not be burdened by the latter. Right? It's as if the preacher is saying, hey, listen, as you go through your life, don't sweat the small stuff. Right? All the petty things, there's so many petty things. Don't sweat the petty things, the trivial things, the irrelevant things, the inconsequential, the insignificant things. Don't burden yourself with all that petty, trivial stuff, because life is too short for those things to be burdened and weighed down by them, right? Which is what he means when he says youth and the dawn of life are vanity, right? Vanity in this context means fleeting, right? Life is fleeting. Life's too short for that. So to be weighed down and anxious and burdened by all these petty, trivial things is to actually be distracted from the important things. Or to be distracted from the good things, to be distracted from the things that really matter. Our souls, right? Our relationship with God, our families, our marriage, our children, right? Our relationships, right? Loving and serving our neighbors, caring for one another, right? Taking up our cross and following Jesus, right? That's what matters. That's what matters, right? And so the preacher's point is, hey, listen, don't let petty, trivial burdens distract you from what matters, right? Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. Now, again, this one's a little bit tricky, but most commentators seem to think that what's being talked about here are things that can hurt you or cause harm to you, but a specific kind of hurt, right? A specific kind of harm, because that word pain can also be translated as evil, right? And there's probably actually a footnote in your Bible actually telling you that, right? And so if that's sort of the broader sense of the word, right, this sort of this pain, this hurt, this harm of evil, then I think perhaps what the preacher is saying to us is hey, listen, there are things in life that can hurt you in a bad way. Right, that can harm you in a bad way, whether it's the company you keep, right, the paths you walk, the places you go, okay, the things you watch or listen to, right, even the things you think about, right, whatever it is that you sort of allow into your life that tempts you, right, to sin, to evil, right, the things that can harm you and hurt you in that way, cause you pain in that way, the preacher, listen, put it away. Put it off. Get rid of it, because along with vexation of heart, it's just more distraction, right? Keeping you from the good things in life, keeping you from greater blessing in life, keeping you from what really matters. And again, life is too short for that. So if you want to age well and get the most out of life, listen, you got to take those petty, trivial, worthless things and you got to let them go. Learn to just let them go, right? Cast your care on the Lord. Your burden, your bother, learn to take your burdensome, bothersome cares and cast them on the Lord. Be anxious about nothing, right? Take everything to God in prayer. Let his peace guard your heart and your mind, and then think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. If there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about that. And whatever is not of those things, just forget them. Just let them go. Put them away. Don't give the best years of your life burdened and fretting and distracted over petty, trivial, worthless things. Don't do it. Life's too short. Which then brings us to our third and most critical piece of counsel that the preacher has for us this morning, which is to remember. To remember verse or chapter 12, verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Again, Phil Ryken writes, in fact, this is the key to all of the other things the preacher has called us to in this passage. The reason we are able to rejoice in our long years of life or in our youth and strength is because every day is a gift from our Creator God. The reason we need to walk in holy ways is because our Maker is also our judge. The best remedy for pain and vexation is to cast our care upon the God who made us and knows all about us. Everything that the preacher says in this passage assumes and requires the close presence of God. Right? And therefore, brothers and sisters, this call here to remember your Creator, that is not just a sort of mental exercise. Oh, yeah, God, oh, I remember him. No, it's a call that the very presence of God, or the reality of God, that the existence of God would become the ultimate reality that defines your very existence. Right? It means dropping, right, every pretense, right, every illusion of self-sufficiency, as if you could somehow live your life without him. Right, that if you're older, you're somehow wise enough to not need him. That if you're younger, you're somehow strong enough to not need him. No, drop the illusion. Right, this delusion of self-sufficiency, and remember your Creator. In every moment, in every plan, in every pursuit, in every blessing, and in every trouble for all of your days, right, when at home or at school, when at work or at play, with family, with friends, in every place, in every season, remember him. Right, let the reality and the presence and the truth of God be that all-pervasive reality in your life that shapes and informs everything else about your life. Right, that God would be the sun, right, in the solar system of your existence, and everything else orbits around that. That's the call, to remember. Now, the preacher's counsel here is aimed at those who are younger, right? In the days of your youth, remember. It's aimed at those who are younger, but it's probably best understood and appreciated by those who are older. Because those who are older are in a position, probably, to better understand and feel the weight of what the preacher says next. And what the preacher says next is a rather lengthy and poetic description of death and dying, of growing old and aging. And the preacher could have just said, the preacher could have taken one line, one sentence, and just said, hey guys, guess what? Everybody gets old and everybody dies. Next point. Could have said that, he doesn't. Instead, he gives us, as one scholar put it, a beautiful description of a harsh reality. Why? Because he wants us to taste and smell and hear and touch and feel our own mortality, and thus feel the urgency of remembering your Creator. So in verse 2, he begins by comparing growing old to like this cosmic, you know, thunderstorm, where not only have the clouds gathered, but the sun and the moon and the stars have sort of all darkened. Right? And the sun in particular has been mentioned 34 times in Ecclesiastes. And it's as if this is its final act. Right? As if it, and along with all of the other celestial lights, are taking a final bow. And the curtains are closing. And the stage goes dark. I mean, it almost sounds apocalyptic, right? It almost seems like a scene from the end of the world. But as one scholar notes, when you die, the world is ending. Yours. And the preacher describes growing old, sort of like a crumbling, dilapidated house, right, where the keepers of the house tremble, that the strong men are bent, right? The grinders cease because they are few. That's most likely a reference to our teeth, at least what's left of them. Right, those who look through the windows are dim. That's the failing of eyesight. Doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low, as if it's closing time. The daily buzz of daily life, the daily business of the day, it's coming to an end. It's time to close up shop, shut the door, turn off the lights, go home. It's coming to an end. Right, one rises at the sound of a bird, the preacher says, because sometimes when you get older, it's just harder to sleep. All the daughters of song are brought low. Their vocal cords are no longer able to make the music they once made. They are afraid of what's high, and there are terrors in the way. And so even simple things, like just standing without falling, or getting in and out of the shower, driving to and from the store, sort of becomes a little bit of this sort of fearful, like prospect, a little more problematic than it used to be. The almond tree blossoms. That's a picture of someone whose hair has turned white. You sort of have to know what an almond tree in blossom looks like. Its hair has gone white with age. The grasshopper drags itself along and desire fails, right? Meaning the energy's gone, the strength has been sapped. I mean, grasshoppers are supposed to be these bouncy, springy things, right? You're cutting the grass or just sort of pew, 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 pew. So whenever you see one sort of dragging itself along, you think, ooh, that's not a good sign. That one looks like a goner. And so it is with us. Today you feel young and strong. But tomorrow you'll be older. And it's just a matter of time, the preacher says, before the mourners will carry our bodies out for burial and we will go to our eternal home. And our life will be like the snapping of a silver cord, the breaking of a golden bow. In other words, right, something that was once precious and beautiful is now broken beyond repair. And there's no fixing it. There's no going back. Like the shattering of a water pitcher, a broken wheel, just not able to do what it used to do. And all that will be left will be to return to the dust. And so to the dust we will return, and to our Maker our soul shall go. That's the picture. And the call of the preacher is to remember your Creator now. Now, before, he says, before, three times he says, before all these things happen to you, remember your Creator. Before your wits fail, before your strength fails, before your body fails, in other words, before it's too late. As one theologian said, many have remembered too late, but none too soon. None too soon, right? It's possible that you can remember too late, but you can never remember too soon. That now is the time to remember your Creator, right? Which is why, brothers and sisters, the scriptures can then go on to say, today, if you hear His voice today, do not harden your heart. Right, that today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of the Lord's favor. And brothers and sisters, this is where the preacher's counsel to remember our Creator ultimately leads us to Christ Himself. Because when Jesus came, He opened the scroll of Isaiah that proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor, that proclaimed the salvation of our God, and He said, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Because in Him, in Christ, in His person, in His life, in His death, is a salvation that transforms the picture of death that we are given in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so, as sobering as this picture is, of growing old and dying, there is also something very beautiful about it, right? Something that actually gives hope and dignity to it, right? For those who do, in fact, remember their Creator by turning to Jesus Christ in faith. This is a beautiful picture. This is a hopeful picture. This is a picture of dying with dignity. Brothers and sisters, because the ultimate comfort we have as believers in Jesus Christ is that God remembers us. God remembers us, right? That as we grow old, as we age, and all of these things start to happen to us, God remembers that we are but dust, that our days are like grass, the wind passes over and it's gone, Psalm 103. God remembers, God knows, and God sent His Son to be the Savior that we need. And so when the psalmist, for example, prays in Psalm 71 and says, oh God, from my youth you have taught me. And so now even to old age and gray hair, oh God, do not forsake me. And brothers and sisters, Jesus assures us that God most certainly will not forsake you, saying in John 6 that this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks upon the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. This is why the Apostle Paul could say to the Corinthian believers that one day in Christ, because of Christ, for those who believe in Christ, that this perishable body will put on the imperishable, that this mortal body will put on immortality, and when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you want to age well? You want to get the most out of not only this life but the next? Remember your Creator. Remember your Creator and turn to Jesus Christ in faith. The band can come. Let me close with just one more quote from Phil Ryken, just speaking about this victory that we have in Jesus. He writes the following. He says, maybe this is why some old saints are so young at heart that they hardly seem to grow old at all. Just say that again. Maybe this is why some old saints are so young at heart that they hardly seem to grow old at all. I love the promise of Psalm 92, which compares the righteous to a palm tree growing in the house of God. They still bear fruit in old age, the psalmist says. They are ever full of sap and green, that even as they grow old, they are alive by the power of the Holy Spirit living in them. Though outwardly they are wasting away, inwardly they are being renewed day by day, living in the hope of an eternal home where they know they will be young again. All God's people said, amen. Let's stand and let's rejoice together.